All right, brethren, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. Our subject is peace which passes understanding. I come across some old notes, and this was the first passage I preached from in New Jersey was this passage. That was December 10th, 2005. Let's read it together, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation, that's your patience, your steadfastness, your forbearance, let it be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The sovereign, supreme, almighty Lord is present. He's at hand. Be careful for nothing. Be troubled. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. These are all things Paul did. These are all the things he did, and they saw him do this, and they said, he said, those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. All right, let's look at this now. First of all, he says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Now, believers have lots of troubles in this world. Our Lord told us that in this world you shall have tribulation. But our Lord is speaking here through Paul, just as real as he did when he walked this earth. And he tells us, rejoice in the Lord always, even in the trouble. You know, in the Lord, we have every reason to rejoice. God the Father blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the Lord. In eternity, when he chose us by his grace. When the Spirit of God quickened us, he quickened us together with Christ in the Lord. And made us to know we're seated there in him, in the heavenlies, at God's right hand. He called us into Christ's marvelous light. And it's in the Lord that we're complete. It's in the Lord we have all righteousness. It's in the Lord that his people are just before God and reconciled to God. And our sovereign Lord is ruling everything. So we have every reason to rejoice in the Lord always. When we face trouble, and even when our heart's breaking, when we're sorrowful, turn your affection to Christ above. Turn to Christ above. These things that we're looking at here, remember Paul said in another place, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And these things have to do with what we have our heart, our affection on, and what we have our mind on. You turn your affection to Christ. You meditate on what the Lord's done for you. And you think about all the spiritual blessings God's given us in Christ. You think on those things. Not on things below, on those things. And rejoice in the Lord always. David faced trouble all his days. All his days he faced trouble. But this is what David said in Psalm 34:1. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And that's really what rejoicing in the Lord is. It's boasting in the Lord. Why? Isaiah said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God because he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments and a bride adorneth herself with jewels. I got every reason to rejoice in the Lord, even when times are bad. That's the paradox when the Lord said, blessed are they that mourn. Happy are they that mourn. That's God's people. We're happy and we mourn. But we'll be comforted by the Lord. He promised that. Secondly, look here. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. This is the only place the word moderation is used in the Bible, or the only place it's translated moderation in the Bible. It doesn't mean temperance in food and drink. That's not what it means. It means be patient, be forbearing. You know, when they brought that woman caught in adultery to our Lord, He showed moderation in how He dealt toward her. It means be patient, be steadfast, trusting Christ, forbearing whatever you have to bear with before all men. When trouble comes, any type of trouble comes, that's what usually causes us to lose our patience. But when any trouble comes, we have to remember this, brethren, the Lord's ruling it. And not only is He ruling it, as Paul says here, the Lord is at hand. Doesn't just mean that He's coming soon, which He is, but it means He is right here present at all times. That's a common theme in this writing of Paul's. He said it back there in Philippians 2, the Lord's in your midst. He said it again in Philippians 3, whatever you need revealed, the Lord will reveal it to you. He's present. And He says it right here, the Lord's at hand. The Lord's present. That first trip I made up to New Jersey, I saw an illustration in my notes. The day before I flew up here, a huge snowstorm hit. And I was flying through O'Hare Airport in Chicago, and that's the year of our airplane. The day before, an airplane skidded off the runway at O'Hare. And then the forecast had snow and ice and all that in the forecast, even while I was here when I was leaving. Now that might not be a big deal to y'all. Y'all from the north. I'm from the south. I think you had more snow that time, that trip, than I'd ever seen in my whole lifetime. But nothing gave me comfort. Nothing kept me knowing everything was well, except knowing the Lord's ruling everything, and underneath are His everlasting arms. I can get on that plane. He's holding it up. And if He wants to bring me home, He'll bring me home. Whatever comes our way comes by the hand of our sovereign Savior, whatever it is. Whatever it is. He's always at hand. He's ever present. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And we know whatever the trouble, whatever it is, God's working it for our good. That means, I made this statement in Danville, that nothing bad is happening to God's people. Isn't that what the scripture says? We know that all things work together for good to them who are the called, to them that love God, to them that who are the called according to His purpose. That means He's working all things together for our good, even the things we think are bad. So we got every reason to be patient before men, and the Lord's at hand. William Cowper wrote the hymn we all know. He said, God moves in a mysterious way His wonders to perform. He plants His footstep in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable mines of never-failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. His purpose will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan His work in vain. God's His own interpreter, and He'll make it plain. Our sovereign God ruling everything. You be patient, forbearing, trusting Him. He's at hand. All right, thirdly, verse 6. For this same reason, he says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. That's tough for us, isn't it? Sinners got a sin nature in us, and trouble comes, and we just, it's just in you by nature to just get overly anxious. He says, don't be careful. Be careful for nothing. Think about this, brethren. God gave His only begotten Son. He gave His only begotten Son for elect, chosen sinners who God coveted it to save from eternity. And our Lord Jesus laid down His life. He gave His blood to satisfy His own justice for His people and to make us the righteousness of God. The Spirit of God came and gave us life, eternal life in Christ Jesus in regeneration. The Lord said, whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He robed us in the righteousness of Christ. He made us holy, turning us to the Lord to see. He perfected us and given us this new heart to see Him and know Him. This is what He did for us. Romans 8:30 says, moreover, whom He did foreknow, him He also did predestinate. Whom He predestinated, him He also called. Whom He called, him He also justified. Whom He justified, him He also glorified. He did all that for His people. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now listen to this. Here's the cure for our anxious worry over little things that we need in this world. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? How shall He not? He gave His Son. How should He not meet our need and whatever other little thing it is we have in this world? Our Lord said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, for your body, what you shall put on. He said, look at the fowls of the air. Look at the flowers of the field. God feeds them. God clothes the flowers. And He said, in worrying and being anxious over it, you can't change it. You can't add anything to it. He said, your Heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Your Heavenly Father feeds the wild animal. He clothes the flowers of the field. You're not better than they. He feeds the sparrows. You're not better than they. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. He knows everything we need. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. These other things will be added to you. He said, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Don't you find it just absolutely useless to get anxious and worrying about things that hadn't even, the day that hadn't even come yet? And usually the things that we worry about often don't even happen. We just create worries for nothing. He said, there's enough for this day right here. Enough evil in this day. We need to get through this day. Just trust the Lord today. Did you see that? The Lord gave His Son. He gave us everything. He gave us salvation. He'll provide everything else. Fourthly, look here in our text, Philippians 4:6. But here's what to do instead of being anxious and all of that. He said, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything. In everything. Whatever the providence that God has sent. And this works two ways. Whether it makes you extremely happy, you feel like you've been prospered, as we would say, I've been blessed. You feel like you've been blessed. You can fall into a great snare over that. Or whether it's troubling and you are sad and mourning, or anything in between. In everything, whatever the providence, thank God for it. You mean thank God for things that make me weep? Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because it's God's will. He sent it. Listen, In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Whatever providence God has sent to you, it's God's will for you. And it's God's will that you thank Him for it, even when it causes you bitter tears. That's right. Just like we thank Him for good things, we thank Him for the things that we consider bad things, because truth is, they're not bad things. Oh, they may be some tragic things that come to pass as far as earthly things are concerned, but what He's working for you through those things is not bad at all. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. It works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Sometimes it takes God sending affliction to turn us from things below. You know, whatever you're trusting in this life, and it gives you your peace and your calm and your... It's little by little all it's going to be taken away. You know, if it's temporal things, it slowly... Those, your financial state will change. Those things will one by one be taken away as you age. Family, one by one, everybody older than you is going to be taken away. Friends. I remember Brother Henry saying, and Sister Doris saying one time, when they were in their 90s, they said, "We don't have any friends older than us anymore." Everything that we put any confidence in this world, God's going to take it from us. And show us the only peace we have and the only salvation we have is Christ. So these things are working for us. That's what He's showing us in every one of them. So we not only thank God for them, He says, let your requests be made known to God. Tell God what you need. Christ shed His blood. He made us holy and righteous to give us access to God's holiest of holies, to His throne room, so we can come to God and ask Him, let your requests be made known. That's a whole lot different from going and making demands. Let your requests be known. Go there and let... He already knows, but He said, I'll have my people ask me. Go there and ask Him. Christ came into this world, and He not only reconciled His people to God, He came into this world to so that He's like His brethren without sin, so that He knows the feeling of our infirmities. And the Hebrew writer said, we've not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That means whatever you and me face, whatever it is, Christ knows it. He was touched with it. And He did it without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. Come welcome, knowing you're welcome. Come to His throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's the purpose of these things, brethren, is to turn us to, from everything that we trust in here below, and where we're finding our peace in, and all of that, turn us from that, and bring us to the Lord to pour out our heart and thank Him for sending it. And this is what all God's people will do. When you see the good He's worked in turning you from something in this world that would have caused you to perish, you'll thank Him. And while it's going on, you come there and you let your request be made known. Now, in all of these things, brethren, as we turn our affection to Christ above, all of this is in Christ. You're rejoicing in Christ alone. You patiently trust in Christ, knowing He's at hand. You're not anxious because you know He's present. You're thanking Him for sending whatever painful providence it is. You're letting your request be made known to Christ. Do you see how everything here has turned us to Christ? And this is what Paul says our Savior will do. This is what He'll do for you. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want us to get what this means. And this is so important. And I hope everybody here will listen carefully. This is so important. Without a doubt, the peace of God is it's infinite. And it's beyond our understanding. We see through a glass darkly right now. But that's not what this means. Even when we cannot understand what our Lord is doing in providence, even when we're perplexed, we don't understand what He's doing, the peace of God that He gives in the heart and the mind surpasses our need to understand what God's doing. You'll have peace without even having to understand what God does. It'll be peace that passes you even needing to understand it. It's not God removing the trouble that gives you peace. If you only have peace if God removes your trouble from you, you're in danger. You're in danger. Your confidence is in things. It's not in God. God doesn't have to remove the providence. He doesn't have to remove the trouble. God's our peace. Christ is our peace. And He's able to give you peace in your heart in the midst of the trouble. And it surpasses your need to even understand what He's doing. And that settles our heart, it settles our mind on Christ so that we don't have to understand all the details. We have peace knowing God's doing it. God's doing it. You think the little ones here, do you think they understand everything that Ben and Sarah's doing in the household? They have no clue what all goes into maintaining that home. But they know who's doing it. And they're not worried about it. Mom and Daddy's got it. Your Father is, He knows. Our Lord said, your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of. He's doing it. He's doing it. And you know, a lot of times when He sends us something painful, He's doing just what we've asked Him to do. You look up that hymn sometime about the I ask the Lord to grow me in grace. It almost brought me to despair, He said. Lord sent painful providence. Christ said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, these things I've spoken to you that in me you might have peace. That's where the peace is. All of this is pointing us to Christ. In the world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's where the peace is. Fifthly, think on Christ now. You got your mind set on Christ, and this is what He's been doing. He's been turning us to our Lord Jesus and what we have in Him. Now, and also when you're thinking about your brethren, Paul's speaking here to these sisters that were having discord with each other. And he's saying, now you think on Christ, and you're gonna think of all these things, because they're all in Christ. And he said, when you think of your brethren, he said, you think of good things. You think of the good things Christ has worked in them. He said there in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, Christ is the truth. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, Christ is working all things justly. Whatsoever things are pure, He's purified His people. He created a new man in us that's pure. Your pure minds, Paul said. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Now listen, when you think of your brother or your sister, if there be any virtue, just any, if there's any in them, if there's any in you, if there be any praise, you ever heard them praise God, you ever heard them give all the glory to God, think on these things. Think on those things. My grandfather used to sing a song to me. I didn't know the song and I had to look it up. It's an old, well, somebody else sang it a long time ago, but Bing Crosby used to sing it. And I looked it up and the songwriter got this from hearing a sermon preached. He got the chorus, the first line of the chorus from hearing a sermon. It made me wonder if he got it off of this, from this text, if that was the sermon. But here's the point right here. This basically sums up what Paul's telling you. You probably know this old song. You got to accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. Latch on to the affirmative and don't mess with Mr. In Between. It says, spread joy up to the maximum. Bring gloom down to the minimum. Have faith or pandemonium is liable to walk up on the scene. That's what Paul's saying. Turn your mind from these things below and your meditation from ruminating on offenses and things that trouble. And look at everything we have in Christ and what He's done. When our affections set on Christ above and we're thinking on all these things, and when we're concerning brethren, when you're thinking about what Christ has worked in His people, Paul said, if there's any virtue, any praise, he said that before in Philippians 2:1. He said, if there be any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord in one mind. Grace and mercy, if we know what we are and we know what sinners we are and we see how constantly we need God's mercy and we need His grace, grace and mercy are going to give brethren the benefit of the doubt. We're going to give brethren the benefit of the doubt. If there's any work of grace in them, if they glory in the Lord, if they praise the Lord, if they walk with the Lord for any time, then receive one another, Paul said in Romans 14, without doubting and without disputing. Why? That's somebody Christ died for. You just give it the benefit of the doubt that the brother or sister is somebody Christ died for. And here's why. Because Christ said, whatever you do to them, you're doing it to me. So I think it'd be safe to say, I'm gonna take for granted that's one Christ died for. That's one Christ robed in His righteousness. That's one that's complete in Christ. And if we say, well, I see such and such and such and such, well, let's just turn that around, that mirror around, and look at ourselves. Do we not see it in ourselves? But if there's any virtue, it's not a small thing to believe God. It's not a small thing to persevere in faith. If they've done that, the Lord did it. And if there's any whatsoever, instead of speaking critically, let your request be made known to God. Thank God for them. And ask God's grace upon them. Let your request be made known to God. These are the things Paul did. And he says, what you've heard, what you've learned, he said, you do it. And here's what he said will happen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He said in verse 9, and the God of peace shall be with you. You see, the devil wants to disrupt this peace. He wants to divide you from your brethren. He's the chief one spoken of when it says, he that repeateth a matter separates chief friend. He wants to separate you from Christ, and he wants to separate brethren from brethren. Don't let him do it. You turn to the Lord, and you let your request be made known to him. Ask the Lord to keep you. What do we see Thursday night? The work of righteousness. This work Christ has accomplished for us, when you see Him and you know that work of righteousness is finished and you've been made righteous in Him, the work of righteousness, the effect shall be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. He said this, here's how sure this peace is. He said, the mountains will depart and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. If God says, I'm going to be at peace with you, even when the mountains are dissolved, I'm going to still be at peace with you because that's my covenant to you. And I'm going to do it because I have mercy on you. Well, what in the world ought we to do for one another? Have mercy on one another. What's mercy? Holding from each other what we deserve. Somebody hear me say that and they'll say, well, he must need mercy. You right, I do. I do. You got that right. I need forgiveness. Need it every hour of every day. So do you. And God gives it to His people. So let's do that for one another. Think on these things, brethren. Think on these things. Let's go to Him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask You to turn our hearts and our minds away from things below. Keep us settled on Christ above. Lord, when we're alone, when we're going through the day and doing the things we have to do, we pray, Lord, You keep our hearts and minds set on Christ. When we begin to think about other things, turn us again. Just keep us meditating on You, and we can't exhaust the subject. That well is so deep, we'll never plumb the bottom. Keep us, Lord, just thinking about who You are, all Your virtues, and all that the pureness of Your character and everything about You and Your promises, how sure they are, how steadfast they are. Help us remember what Christ did for us. And Lord, keep our minds and our hearts in peace. We don't have to understand everything You're doing. Your wisdom, You're infinite, we're finite, we don't have to understand it. Just help us to, just give us peace of heart and mind, Lord, knowing You've got it, knowing Christ is not going to let us go, knowing we're accepted, and knowing that of one another. Lord, we pray You forgive us, because we're so often anxious and full of unbelief and looking at this world and just tangled up with everything that we shouldn't be. And we pray, Lord, You forgive us for Christ's sake. Keep us looking above. It's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.